many years ago when I was in school, had a teacher who recommended a book, one of the most unusual books I think I have ever encountered. This particular book has a single theme, and that is how you should read a book once you pick up a book to read. For whatever reason, I have tried over a period of about 20 years to read that book, and I cannot read it. I can get through maybe half a chapter, and then that is it. Mentally, I just shut down. And I kind of forgotten about that book, but I noticed this past week in USA Today that this same book is now being touted once again as a really good book for people to read. So I stand here tonight and will tell you in all truthfulness that I still do not know the contents of the book that tells readers how to read books. But I do know this much. There is a difference between reading and understanding. Those two things are not the same. Reading is good. Reading the Bible is certainly not wrong. And we know that because at different times, and we're turning now for our first references to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, we know that at different times Jesus talked about reading and specifically reading the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 12, we know that the Lord and his apostles were out. They were in the midst of an area that had some grain and they were hungry. They saw some grain that was available. They took it. They ate it. The Pharisees saw what was being done and they objected. Jesus, because of the objection, asked the Pharisees this question in verse 3 of Matthew 12. But he said unto them, have ye not, here's our word, read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him? And then, of course, he continues on. Jesus wanted the Pharisees to answer the question, have you or did you read your Bibles? Are you familiar with this story? Well, that question must have gotten the people's attention, and then Jesus did not drop this line of questioning. As we get down to verse 5 in Matthew 12, the same chapter, we find again Jesus turning to these people, and he asked if they had read the scriptures. Or, he says, have ye not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath, and they are guiltless or blameless? When we think about reading the Bible, sometimes I'm persuaded that maybe we look at that subject as really being directed towards non-Christians, that those are probably the people that we really need to wonder about, maybe be concerned about. Do non-church members read the scriptures? Well, that's a good question to ask. There needs to be some concern there. But if you'll notice in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was not talking to irreligious people. He was talking to people who were very religious. And the Lord's questions may have really angered these Pharisees. Do you, the teachers, the religious leaders in the nation of Israel, have you read these Bible stories? Well, they may not have been very happy about that. But what the Lord said was a legitimate question. Today we may ask, do we read the Bible? Do we, on a regular basis, physically pick up God's Word, open it up, and read it? Now, we live in a time, and there are some additional opportunities and various means to get the Scriptures. There are some people who say, well, reading is not really my thing. I respond better by hearing information. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible is on CD, it's on cassette, various audio means, and that's certainly not wrong. We're still exposing ourselves to the scriptures. That's like reading it. And, of course, we also have the Bible in electronic form. So it may not be a paper and book form. It may be on a computer. It may be on a PDA or something else. But the question really is there some means? Have we come up with a method to somehow regularly expose ourselves to God's Word? Jesus believed in reading or in exposing ourselves to the scriptures on a regular basis. And we know that for sure. A little later in Matthew, and I'm simply citing the references from here, I'm not going to be actually reading them, but a little later in Matthew, Matthew chapter 19, we have some questions that are in the area of divorce. And if you look at that discussion in Matthew 19, verse 4, Jesus asked people, have you not read? Have you not gone back to your Bible, the Old Testament, and studied what it says concerning this particular subject? And that's not the end of it. As you continue to read through the book of Matthew, you find on at least two more occasions. In Matthew chapter 21, you have additional references. Jesus asked in this chapter if the people had never read a certain section of the scriptures. In Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus turned the people's attention to reading the Bible. He said, have you never read? And then in Matthew 22, verse 31, in that next chapter, Jesus again asked people if they had not read the scriptures. In the latter chapter, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 31, it's not divorce, but the subject there is the resurrection. So as Jesus talks to people, as he spoke to people in the first century, he pictured Bible reading as a normal part of life. It was as natural to him, at least he portrays it as being as natural as rising in the morning and going to sleep at night. We also find as Jesus asks these people questions in Matthew 12 and in Matthew chapter 19, Matthew 21 and Matthew chapter 22, that he associated it with Bible knowledge. That is, reading had some connection to understanding. Now, I've not seen any statistics, and I did not look for any this past week, but I suspect that reading is at an all-time high. And I say that for these reasons. More and more people are using the internet. And unless you know something that I don't know, when you use the internet, you have to read. You pull up different pieces of information, and you have to look at that information that's on the computer screen. More and more people, almost everybody that I know of, has some connection to email. If they don't have email, they probably know a friend who will print off some email and say, read this. Well, one way or the other, you get to read. As we see people going down the road, sometimes they're looking out the window and they're looking at billboards. Well, they're reading. Again and again, we are a society of readers. And on our list of reading material should be the scriptures. And again, we may not be exposing ourselves directly by the Word of God as far as the written form. It may be in an electronic format. It may be in an audio format. But we can put that scripture into our minds and lives. The Jews, as we look at people who lived under the Old Testament, they were not only accustomed to reading the scriptures, but they were also in the habit of hearing the scriptures. Couple references in this respect. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 27, the Bible says, the scriptures, and again, this describes people who were worshiping under the Old Testament, the scriptures were read every Sabbath. So if you were a Jew, and you were in the custom, in the habit of going to the various synagogues and worshiping, you, if you stayed for the whole service, would hear the Bible read. Two chapters later, in Acts chapter 15, verse 21, the Bible there tells us that portions of the Old Testament were read to people so they were able to listen to hear those on a regular basis. Well, that was the Old Testament system. We're not under that system. We're under a New Testament system. How did it operate in first century times for the people of God who were part of the New Testament or the New Covenant? We know that God's people not only read, but we know that God's people heard others read. How do I know? Colossians 4, verse 16. Paul said that the letter that we know as the Colossian letter was to be read to the congregation. They were to hear that. That was not the only letter. A similar passage in this regard is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 27. There again, Paul said this letter, these five chapters need to be read to the congregation at Thessalonica. Now, there were surely times when God's people heard some information. Maybe it was the Jews under the Old Testament. Maybe it was the folks at Colossae or Thessalonica or some other place. They heard some information, but they did not have full comprehension of what they heard. That happens to us sometimes. I know when I was employed at Hummer, there were sometimes some meetings that I sat in that I was able to read the words just as everyone else could, but comprehension was not always present. One of the things that I heard discussed from time to time was a black diamond. That came up, and I thought, I have no idea what that is. I don't think they're talking about jewels. And it was not the time and place to ask, and I was able to see that in print, and I was able to hear them talk about this black diamond, whatever that meant. But again, my understanding was not there, even though it was possible to read that information. So I filed that little expression away, thinking that maybe one day I would have an understanding of what it meant. So sometimes we may read, but not always understand. But a first step in really becoming familiar with God and Christianity is simply exposing ourselves to what we find in the scriptures. We've somehow got to open up the book. We've somehow got to listen to the book and say, even if I don't get it all, I'm going to at least listen. I'm going to struggle with some things. And if we do that, and if we do that on a regular basis, our comprehension, our understanding of God and the faith that he's given will grow. That's a promise. It will work. In Matthew 15, verse 10, Jesus said to people, hear and understand. Jesus recognized that there are two distinct things there. We may hear but not understand, but the goal is to hear and understand. We could, as we look at the words of Christ in Matthew 15, verse 10, say, read and understand, because that is heaven's goal. A classic example of this comes from Philip and the eunuch in the 8th chapter of Acts. Here was a man who was on a trip. The Bible says he was in his chariot. He was reading from an Old Testament book, the book of Isaiah, and he was a religious man. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship. He's headed back home. He was a man interested in spiritual things. He was exposing himself to the Word of God. Did he understand everything about that 53rd chapter in Isaiah? No, he did not. And we know that because there was a man of God who came. Philip showed up, and he asked the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And if you remember from Acts chapter 8, the man said, how can I except someone guide me? I am reading. And that was a good thing. but I am not comprehending. I am having some difficulty as far as processing the information. I do not fully get it. So the preacher sat down with him, the two had a Bible study, and the man did come to an understanding of what he had been reading. Today we can profit not only from Bible reading, but certainly from understanding the scriptures. We can read the Bible by simply opening up the text, and we can understand or better understand the scriptures by applying some common sense principles. Someone might say, well, all that sounds good, and I'm willing to open up the Bible, I'm willing to read. But what are some things that I can do in my life as I'm off by myself? Maybe it's not a congregational setting as far as a sermon, or maybe it's not a Bible class. What are some principles in my life that I can use to better comprehend the scriptures? Well, I want to give some of these to you tonight. First one that I would suggest is select a passage. You might be surprised at the number of people who come to the Bible and they say, well, yeah, I'm going to open up the Bible. Well, let's see. Let's start there. Well, I don't know about that. Let's flip over here. That looks kind of long. And they just flip and flip back and forth, and they never find a starting place. After 10 or 15 minutes, they finally shut it in frustration. As simple and maybe as silly as that sounds, you have to pick a spot and start there. You need a beginning point. After a passage has been picked and read, maybe you want to read a large section, a whole chapter, maybe a whole book. Then, if you do that one day, then it's good to go back and maybe that same day or the next day. Go back, maybe put a Bible ribbon in there or write down where the passage is, something like that, so you know what you read, and go back and read that a second time. Same day, or maybe the next day. Sometimes people seem to look at the Bible as being like a novel or a newspaper. I don't know about you, but I don't have newspapers from 6 months ago. We try to be pretty good about that. There may be some around from a couple days ago, but generally when I read the newspaper, and I think this is true for most people, you read the page, you turn the page, you read what's on that page, and then once you have read the newspaper, you're done with it. You typically don't keep those things around for months and months and say, well, I'm just going to go back and read the newspaper from last year. It doesn't work that way. Well, God's Word is in a different category. It's not like that. It's not like a novel that we read once, or it's not like a movie or a TV show that we see once and we say, I've been exposed to it and I don't want to see it again. I know exactly how it works. But with God's Word, because it's in a different category, it's good, it's wise, it's helpful to go back and reread it. And as we read that passage again, maybe a second time, we might branch out that second time and ask some questions. As we read that chapter a second time, pick up some things that we did not pick up the first time, we think, well, I have a little better understanding of that. Now I want to know what happened in the previous chapter. Or now that I understand a little bit more about this chapter or this verse, what happens in the following verses? Or what happens in the following chapter? A lot of times, and this is a helpful thing to have, it may not be the regular Bible that you possess, but if you are trying to read and understand or comprehend, you may find that in some Bibles that are around your house, there are paragraph headings, or there are major subsections. For example, in the Old Testament, it may say this is King Jehoshaphat, and here's King Jehoshaphat, he's doing this, and that gives you a particular section. Sometimes as you read the Bible, you can look at those major headings and get a flavor, get some understanding of what's ahead and what has already occurred. And that, again, can be helpful as we try to understand the scriptures. After you've read it a second time, it's not wrong, and it's often helpful to go back and read that a third time or a fourth time or a fifth time. There have been a number of preachers and Bible commentators who, as they perhaps want to preach through a book, or if they're going to write a commentary on a particular book of the Bible, they may sit down and read that book 40 or 50 or 60 or 100 times before either they start to preach a sermon series or before they start to engage in some kind of commentary on the text. So again, if you're reading a book three or four times compared to what some others do, that's not very many. Each time you can pick up a little bit more from a chapter. So these are some techniques that might be used for a single chapter, and they can also be employed for an entire book. We might, as we look at the Bible, read through an entire Bible book. Some of those are relatively easy. The book of 3 John, or the book of 2 John, or the book of Jude, all of those are one chapter and thus very short books. Or we might take a shorter book, maybe Philippians or Colossians, a book that has only four chapters, or 1 Thessalonians, a book that has only five chapters. And then as we continue to read through that, not only are we trying to read and understand, but we may do some other things. We may look for a theme. As we read this the third time or the fourth time, are there some words that seem to stand out? For example, in Philippians, the word joy is often used. The day of the Lord might be a phrase that we find in some other books. What's the key subject? Are there any points of application that can be made for our day and time? And then as we continue not only to read the Bible, but we seek understanding of the Scriptures, we can dig into the chapter and sometimes divide it into two parts. As you sit down with the Scriptures, this might be a useful exercise for you if you've never tried to do it. You say, okay, today at 7 a.m., whatever the time is that you like, I'm going to devote 30 minutes to God's Word before I become involved in this or that. Or maybe it's 20 minutes over a lunch hour. And you take that 30-minute time and you divide it into two sections. That is 15 minutes and 15 minutes. Or if it's 20 minutes, you take it and you divide it into two 10-minute periods. And you say to yourself, I'm going to set my cell phone or my watch or some other timer. And for that first half of the 20 minutes, that first 10 minutes, I'm going to just read the Bible. Not so much that I'm trying to understand and comprehend it, but I'm just going to expose myself to the Scriptures. I'm just going to read it. And then as the buzzer goes off and you get to the second 10-minute section or segment, you say, okay, now my focus is not so much on reading the Scriptures, but I'm going to shift and I'm going to see what I can understand. Maybe go back and read those same verses, not really from a perspective of reading, but now you're trying to grasp and fully comprehend. That's one more way to ensure that we not only read the Bible, but that we are blessed in the area of understanding too. As we learn to read and study, we can apply the techniques that we use to both Testaments. It saddens me greatly, but there are some preachers, sometimes some very good preachers, who only preach from the New Testament. And there are some Christians who never turn back to the Old Testament. That's sad. There are some passages back there that are especially difficult, but there are a lot of passages in there. The book of Psalms has been helpful to a lot of people. Proverbs, they have been very, very useful to a lot of people at different times. But we can read and we can study not only in the New Testament, but in the Old as well. Study techniques will work for both. One of the things that may greatly aid us as we try to read and study the Scriptures is peace and quiet. Now, there's some people who need that when they're trying to work, and some other people simply say, I can work in almost, or I can read in almost any kind of environment. But if we're really trying to study, we may be able to read in almost any kind of setting. But if we're really trying to study, if we're really trying to engage in some serious concentration, most of the time, an environment that is loud, an environment that is just not conducive to careful study, being very studious, that's probably not the best time to try to comprehend the Scriptures. Similar thing can be said regarding the end of the day. Sometimes there are people who, for whatever circumstances, that's the time that they set aside for the Scriptures, and if that's how your life is constructed, well, hopefully things will change for you. But if we can find a time when we're not tired and wiped out at the end of the day, either maybe over lunch for a period of even 10 minutes, earlier in the day, that is a better time. There are some clear differences between reading and studying, but both will help us. It may have been a little while since you've been in school, but if you will think back, perhaps you had a college class, or maybe there was a course in the earlier years that was very difficult, and you had a course book on maybe advanced math. Or maybe it was a course book on something like chemistry, something which really required some thought. I would dare say that you did not read that book. You see, as we look at advanced textbooks, we do not treat them like a magazine. At least I never did, and I think that's probably true for most. We just don't pick those up and skim those things. But they are in a different category. Textbooks are books that we typically have to study. We have to concentrate on them so we can comprehend them. But when we look at different kinds or other kinds of publications, such as a magazine, that's not really something that we study to comprehend. We may skim it, or we may just briefly read through it. Magazines are not treated like a detailed instruction manual. We don't pore over them like some kind of technical schematic. When we look at the Bible, it's not really an either-or book, but it really falls into two categories. We can read it in the sense that we're just trying to, maybe we might say read for pleasure, just to go through and do some casual reading. But that's not the only way that we want to look at the Scriptures. We also want to study them. The Bible is a very, very special book because it can be read and it can also be studied. Reading, of course, is not enough. It's important, and that's good, that's right. But the Bible also needs to be studied. We know that because in the Hebrew letter, Hebrews 11, chapter 4, verse 11, the Hebrew writer spoke about being diligent in the Christian life. Part of being a diligent Christian means that when we come to God's Word, we're not only reading, but we're being diligent as far as trying to extract the kind of information that God wants us to have. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, that we want to make our calling and election sure. Paul knew of a difference between reading and studying or understanding the Word of God. And I know that beyond any doubt. Because in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, the apostles specifically talked about not only reading what he said and what he wrote, But he said, I want you to have understanding. I want you to do both. And that should be our goal as Christians. There was a man in Acts chapter 8 who was reading, and it must have been a pleasant thing because he continued to read, and that was good. But you know, as you look at that account, he finally got to the point where he had comprehension. He had understanding. And based on that understanding, the Bible says he was obedient, and he went on his way rejoicing. And that should be our response. If we read and we understand, what a great, great privilege. We are truly blessed. But the process has to begin with reading. We're not going to understand unless we're willing to open up God's book, either and by reading it with our eyes, hearing it with our ears, viewing it electronically. Somehow we have to be exposed to that. That's why the Bible's able to say in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. We somehow need to hear God's word, whether it's through our ears or whether it's through our eyes. Somehow we have to be exposed to it. But that's not enough. We can read and read, but if we do not understand, that reading is not going to help us. If tonight, for whatever reason, we've had a chance to read the scriptures, we know what God says in order to become a Christian. We know his plan says faith in Christ, repentance, a turning from sin, confessing that Christ is the Son of God. And then we've read about how on Acts 2, the people on the day of Pentecost were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. That's all in there. And we understand that. But we've not yet obeyed that plan. Then tonight, is it not time to act on what we've read and what we've understood? If we have become a Christian, we've read what's right, and we know what's right. Maybe still some things that we don't fully understand, but we do know the basics. We know what God requires of us, but we've not been living as he has expressed in his word. Then tonight, with what you've read and what you've understood, will you not come back as we stand and encourage you with this song?